This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere joins me live in studio. He's the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. Rick, I know you didn't see the interview, but I wanted to get your thoughts just about that segment, about that one. What John Stewart was saying in the conversation is, this is my point. And he said it at other times. This is where I'm coming from. This is the part that really burns me up, that I don't understand. And I wholeheartedly, I guess it's no surprise, agree with the guy. I mean, we hear people like Robert Hurt running for office, and you hear these repeated radio spots saying, I'm for small government and less spending, and attacking the Democrats as being anti-American because they're, you know, they're for big government and big spending. And yet, conservatives and Republicans, they are for big government. They are for more spending. It's just how you define it. They just define it differently.
Yeah, I think that's largely true. There's been a real shift in the Republican Party in the past 30 years as more and more former Democrats, evangelicals, social conservatives come into the party and sort of transformed their view of things. And the thing is that, you know, I think that conservative Republicans really believe that they're in favor of smaller government and limiting the size and scope of government. I was at a press conference this past weekend at the Tea Party convention where former Senator Rick Santorum used exactly that language. He almost sounded like a libertarian Republican, even at the same time as he was answering my question, saying, you know, essentially libertarians don't belong in the conservative movement. You know, he has in the past said that Barry Goldwater, his point of view of what government, how small government should be, was wrong because people like Santorum and people like the conservatives that John Stewart is talking about believe that government, if it's going to be big, we might as well use it to our ends. And in their case,
and grow it for our purposes.
Right. In the case of the social conservatives, it's to control people's personal lives as opposed to, say, you know, controlling their businesses. I think, you know, both sides are wrong. I don't think that the government should be controlling our personal lives or our economic lives or our free speech or anything like that. The government should just leave us alone. And the problem is that in both the Democratic and Republican parties, if you're looking at liberals or conservatives, both sides want to control some aspect of our lives through government.
We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. A little political philosophy in this half hour on Charlottesville Right Now. So tell me about this convention, and flesh that out for me. Rick Santorum looking you in the eye and telling you that libertarians don't belong in the Republican Party and they're not real conservatives.
Well, it was really interesting because I knew that he had written about this in the past. And
remind us, for folks who don't know, who is Rick Santorum?
Rick Santorum was a socially conservative a Republican senator from Pennsylvania who was defeated for re-election in 2006.
The Eric Cantor of his day.
I think
an up-and-coming young conservative.
And actually, he still looks young.
Standard bearer.
He's talking about running for president right now in 2012. He's exploring things in Iowa. But he's young, attractive, articulate in his way. But I would say he's far to the right to the mainstream Republicans. But in any case, I asked him, I specifically asked him this, and I put this on YouTube. So any of your listeners who want to go to YouTube and look for a search for Rick Santorum and Rick Sincere, they'll be able to find this tape. I asked him, is there a place for Barry Goldwater or Ronald Reagan in the Republican Party today? And of course, he gave the boilerplate answer that, of course, these are the shoulders that we stand upon, even though I know that in the past he's rejected both of them. And then he went on to say something that was a complete historical falsehood. He said Barry Goldwater in 1964 was not a libertarian, that he evolved into a libertarian as he grew older. Now, anybody who knows the story of Barry Goldwater knows that he was a small government libertarian-style conservative from the moment he entered public life in the early 1950s. And when he was on the city council in Phoenix, Arizona, trying to desegregate the department stores there. So Barry Goldwater was a libertarian from the beginning. Barry Goldwater's presidential campaign in 1964, by most accounts, is the beginning of the modern libertarian movement in the United States.
Do you think Santorum is ignorant, or he's just trying to rewrite history?
He's trying to rewrite history. I don't think he's ignorant. He's too smart for that. He's trying to claim the mantle of a libertarian and claim that he was some kind of social conservative early on who changed his mind on issues like gay rights and abortion and what the size and scope of government should be. So Santorum is trying to create a different sort of Republican. And when I asked him about, Barry Goldwater Republican, well, actually, it was when I asked George Allen about Barry Goldwater Republicans that I got sort of a puzzled look. But I asked them both the same question. Is there a role for a Ronald Reagan or a Barry Goldwater in the Republican Party today?
It's interesting because John Stewart asked Eric Cantor the same question, and Eric Cantor dodged,
Maybe John Stewart saw my video.
But, I mean, that is the question, and we want to hear how they answered it. That is the question, really. Is there a place for Ronald Reagan in the modern Republican Party?
I think there is, but I think there are some people who are trying to push him out and push people like Ronald Reagan and like Barry Goldwater out and trying to put them on the fringes of the Republican Party when really their principles are the core and the heart of the Republican Party, of the conservative movement. And I don't like the way the movement has been hijacked by people who think that they should use government to achieve social or even religious ends. I think that's an improper use of government.
We're talking with Rick Sincere, the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. We'll take a quick break and take your calls at 977-1070. Rick Sincere is live in studio. He's the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, and he's online at ricksincere.com. I wanted to give you a chance to sort of finish that idea. As you presented that question to George Allen, who's back, he's definitely back, and he wants to be elected again in Virginia. This idea of, is there a place for Ronald Reagan in the Republican Party today? Does the question come from an assumption that perhaps the Republican Party has moved to the right of Reagan, or is it just a whole different flavor and feel to the party today that perhaps he wouldn't be at home in?
I think it's a different flavor and feel, and I don't want to get too deeply philosophical about this, but there's a split in the conservative movement. There are a lot of social conservatives who are best represented by the Rockford Institute and Alan Carlson and sort of a Russell Kirk school of conservative thought that's very uncomfortable with the free market. They don't. Robert Bork is another example of this school of thought. The idea that people can have a wide array of choices available to them in the marketplace, and this can include sort of lifestyle choices other than the white picket fence, mom, dad, two kids, and a dog. There are a lot of social conservatives who are very dismayed by this, that there could be these wide array of choices.
Dismayed
available.
And threatened.
Threatened in a way.
Like a Pat Robertson social conservative.
Right, yeah. Right. And these people have come into the Republican Party, which, up until the 1950s was sort of Eastern liberal establishment Republican Party, which, was very pro-business, not necessarily pro-free market in the sense that we understand it today.
Like a Rockefeller Republican.
Right. Rockefeller Republicans, the Bush family,
yeah.
Prescott Bush as opposed to the two Georges. So this discomfort with freedom as opposed to discipline is one that still troubles the conservative movement, and it's going to be a rift someday. There's been a sort of a truce called in recent years, and especially with the Obama administration being so intrusive into the lives of Americans and expanding government at the fastest rate since probably World War II. That's an overriding concern for conservatives and libertarians, social conservatives, fiscal conservatives, that whole range of that big tent of conservatism. That's the major threat today. And so there's this kind of a truce. But, once you see the Republicans
sort of a political
take over,
pragmatism.
There's a pragmatism.
We'll work
there.
Together to a certain point.
Right. We've got a common enemy. During the Cold War, the common enemy was communism. Today, the common enemy is the Obama administration.
It's liberals, yeah.
And not just liberals. I mean, I think there's a real sense that the Obama administration, the Democratic Congress today, wants to expand government while they've got the chance. And they know, based on past experience, that when the Republicans come into power, they're not going to reverse that trend. They're just going to use it for their own purposes.
Now, let me ask you something. We're talking with Rick Sincere. I want to ask about a political, almost campaign tactic that I think has become more philosophy than tactic. And that is, and you just sort of opened the door to it, that is this idea that the right, or at least the ideology of the right, really works to turn political opponents into enemies, and that your opponent is now the enemy. And I was talking the other day on this program that America does have enemies, but yet we spend so much time making enemies of one another that we make ourselves weak to fight the real enemies when we're just opponents on policy or politics. But we really have, and the hyperbolic language comes from the right and the left, but we have, forces in this country that want us to turn on each other.
Well, this is certainly not a new phenomenon in American politics. All you have to go do is look at the Adams-Jefferson campaign of 1800, and you know how different sides vilify their opponents. But I've talked to a lot of people who've worked in Washington over the years, and there's a sense of a lack of civility that used to exist. There was an article in the Washington Post this past Sunday by Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, who said that when she was first elected, she got very good advice from a Democratic colleague who said, you know, don't campaign against your Democratic colleagues. You know, you can campaign for an open seat for a Republican, campaign for Republican colleagues, but don't make your Democratic colleagues mad at you. And she said that was good advice because you have to work together on legislation. But she said that's all changed. Now both sides are campaigning against each other. They're endorsing opponents in primary elections, which would have just been a breach of protocol even 10, 15 years ago. They don't go out and socialize with each other the way they used to, different people on the Hill, whether you're talking about members of Congress or their staffs. You know, they break off into different social groups than they used to.
Well, they really believe that the enemy is among us and that the enemy is somebody who disagrees with you about politics. I mean, the real enemy. I mean that literally. The enemy, that person who threatens freedom, threatens America, the terrorist is among us, and it's just your somebody who disagrees with you about politics, and I find that really frightening.
There's no longer the willingness that there once was to agree to disagree and to talk about some issues today and defer a conversation about other issues until tomorrow. And this is where I think the Tea Party is going to have a really good influence.
Well,
on
that was
politics.
My next question. If we do have this rift between the sort of social, really anti-freedom conservatives and more business pragmatic conservatives in the Republican Party, where does the Tea Party fall into that?
Well, because the Tea Party is so spontaneous and lacks leadership, you've got a lot of different opinions coming into play. But the one trend that's really important in the Tea Party movement is we're focusing on getting our fiscal house in order, and there are all these divisive social issues that people want to deal with, but we're just going to defer that until another day. Let's solve the problems with health care. Let's solve the problems with the deficit and the debt. And let's make sure that our economy is moving again. And then we can talk about whether gay people should have an equal right to get married. But let's leave that out of the conversation right now. And I think that's a really healthy characteristic of the Tea Party movement. And I observed it this past weekend in Richmond at the Tea Party convention, which had 2,800 people, supposedly the largest Tea Party gathering in American history, as short as the Tea Party is in terms of history. But it was a very diverse crowd, and yet people were able to focus on the issues that really concern them. And I think that's important.
Now, when you say it was a diverse crowd, the video I saw, I didn't see a woman or anyone of color, but you said you were there and you saw something different.
I did. And the Richmond Times-Dispatch did a poll of the attendees, and they found that 55% of those in attendance were women, and about 20% were people of color, black or Hispanic. And I interviewed Herman Cain, who's sometimes heard on this radio station when he substitutes for Neil Bortz. He's a black entrepreneur, and he's talking about running for president as a Republican. I interviewed Chuck Smith, who's a Republican candidate for Congress in the 3rd District of Virginia, and he's also African-American. I saw a number of other people who probably you would not expect to see there. It's a myth about the Tea Party that it's monolithic in terms of gender or race or ethnicity. It's a really diverse group of people. And the best thing you can say about the Tea Party is it tends to be people of middle-class background who have not previously been involved in politics.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. Before I let you go, you had mentioned to me off air that you saw that new movie, The Social Network, about Facebook, which I saw last weekend and loved.
I liked it a lot.
It was so much fun. I mean, it was really a great movie. I mean, I was literally on the edge of my seat in some places. What was your take on it?
My take was completely different than the producers intended, because I saw the Mark Zuckerberg character as being someone I'd really like to know. I thought he was really admirable. He was focused. He was intense. He didn't care about money. He just cared about the product.
And for folks who don't know, Mark Zuckerberg is the Harvard student
who founded Facebook.
Who created Facebook in his dorm room at Harvard, which now has 500 million members, making him the youngest billionaire in world history.
That was only 7 years ago that he invented this.
And the movie tries to make him out to be a real jerk.
Yeah, make him into a villain. I think that he's a Randian hero. For those of you who are familiar with Ayn Rand's works, yeah. He's only concerned about
Galt, Rick.
Yeah, in a very small niche manner. The movie is half truth and half not truth. It's told from the perspective of Eduardo Saverin, who was one of the losers in the founding, although he ended up being a multimillionaire too. It's a great movie. I recommend it. I call it a period piece about the early 2000s.
There you go. Rick Sincere, he's online at ricksincere.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right
Rick,
Now.
Thank you very
with
much.
Coy Barefoot.
I appreciate it. We'll talk to you
soon. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.